somebody questioned me the other day, how the soul withdraws from the body by the night. I told him, please come and have a sitting. There's no philosophy to prove it. It is a matter of actual experience that a man has, of course, and the little thought of a person in whom that soul is become the mouthpiece of God. He is what we call the master. So though we have just learned that day to day living body, they are not afraid of death. Why are we afraid of death? That's the point. We are afraid of that once because at the time of death we have to leave the body. And we do not know how to leave the body. Those who are ignorant that way, you see the face of some man dying, how great agony they are. If you know the very first day, Master meets you, shows you how to rise and practice day to day, then no fear of death is there. And second reason is why we are afraid of death is we do not know where to go. When doing daily practice, you become to traverse in the higher planes. The more you advance, you can even have a glimpse of the true home of your father, while in life, on earth. Such a man, you see, if with the grace of some master, we learn how to die while alive, by his grace, the God in him, gives you impetus, you rise above body consciousness, then really you become, what you say, you will be hankering after death, you see. Because all glory and beauty lies within you. Coming says, the world over is afraid of by the name of death. But he says, when I hear the name of death, I'm all joy, all happiness, I hanker after it. That is his why, because he says, when we leave the body, my soul will be one and in the lap of the Father forever. It is saying of one who has become one with God while in us. And similarly, when his last day came up, he was in his sweet reverie inside, and his friends came up, prayed for him, oh God, give him recovery. And what did he say? He opened his eyes and let this recovery be for you. And he said, why? He says, I was in the world very busy in the outside things. I could hardly snatch away some time to withdraw from the body, enjoy the sweetness of the Lord. Now this body has been the only midway barrier which I could not get enough time to transcend daily, but now is the time this body is to be finished up forever. Don't you like that I may go and be in the lap of my Father forever? You see the angle of being changed? We are afraid. And when we go to a master, he gives us that experience how to die daily, rise above body consciousness. By regular practice, we come and go as we please. Once my master was sitting, he was a doctor. He put him the question, how men die when alive? And he was sitting, he could be do. And the master and doctor was testing that he's alive or not. So my point is, you know, rigmarole not only novel way of saying, but it is a fact. If you'd like to have that thing, you'll come out of the grand delusion which we are going now, and we'll like to die daily. Similarly, you'll find it is said, we should not weep the master's saints, but if go to the true home, you know, only weep are those who have not achieved this object of life, which you could have earned in life. But you'll see in all others their testimony to it, that the saints have experience of flying, riding to the beyond, and one man is convinced only when he sits by the master to have that experience. And what is that experience? That's the point, that when a master, such a master meets, he gives you an experience by sitting. There's no why, therefore, no reasoning, nothing of the sort, you see? You see for your own self, really you forgot your body and rise above it. Your inner eyes open to see the light of God, the experience of God while alive. So you'll find we are great amongst all creation. We are next to God. We are divine in nature. But we have forgotten ourselves. Being under the control of mind and outgoing faculties through which we are identified with the world all over. We think perhaps this is the true home where we have to live. All those who are seeing with open eyes that we have to leave the body someday, and with all that still we are not at heart of hearts convinced that we will die. So this is what is before us, to solve while alive in the man body. We are great. We are of the same. We are spirited man, you see. We are everlasting in God is. We are the children of light. Our light is concealed by the various sheets, by the coverings, by the physical, astral, carbon, super carbon coverings. But the first is the iron, I would say, covering of physical body. Of our own self, we cannot rise above. If anybody can do it, he is welcome. If not, just go and sit by someone who over us, he was in such a diet for 70 long years. He was talking about from one time in practice to the other. Whatever man told him, he did, lived up to it. Without that, he could not rise above body consciousness. The reason why? Generally, all people who prescribe the methods for knowing God, those methods are relating to your outward faculties. Either they are based on your feelings or emotions or intellectual inferences. That is no direct contact with God. Even if you have taken the way of philosophy, philosophy deals with theories. And it is mysticism, deals with reality. The masters who are in contact with God, when you meet them, you see you rise above body consciousness. And how? By having sitting and seeing. When you rise above and daily learn to rise above body consciousness, all your outward attachments are God. It is the attachment to the world that is the cause of our coming again and again. But if you once learn like that, you are attached to the unchangeable permanence by shaking off all sheets or covering, well, you are not really touched. You will have everlasting life. So that to be on the way of having everlasting life, we must learn to die while they die. Even the ministers of all religions, they are not conversant with this thing. Religions have to do with your outer body, outer faculties. And this is something when you rise above body consciousness, rise above all outer faculties, rise also above intellect, then you have a glimpse of God, contact of God, you know how to die while alive. So great is man. In man body alone we can achieve this object. Our course is the guidance of someone who knows the way. It is not a matter of what you say, feelings, emotions, or dark influences. It is something doing something to do with your own self by seeing. So seeing is above all. So all masters who came in the past, they said, well, please sit by somebody who knows the way. Son knows the Father, another whom the Son reveals. Now you have not seen. Father house, you have not seen. If you come across any switch which is connected with the powerhouse, which is the mouthpiece of the powerhouse, well, if you come across near that switch, you can say you are coming in contact or nearer to the powerhouse. So God pervades everywhere. Electricity pervades at all through. But where that electricity is just coded, that is called powerhouse, and through powerhouse you can do so many things. Similarly, God pervades everywhere and resides in every heart. When that God is manifested anywhere, that manifested God can do wonders. That is the God power of the Christ power. Such a person in whom that is manifest has the competency to raise your souls above senses and outward effort. We have the same experience for a while, where they have got 24 hours of the day and night. So these are facts which I am laying before you. So long as we have not seen God, what to do? We attach to the outside world, and that outside attachment to the outside world becomes the call of our coming again and again. Therefore they say, just have love for one in whose human soul the God is manifest. Love the God manifest in him, not the man body. But we have got respect for the man body also, at whose will that God is manifesting. So love of the Master is love of God. Guru Amar Das says, if you like to just worship God, well, worship those in whom God is manifest. It is the God in him. Don't think the Master is a man body. Of course he has the man body through which that God power of the Christ power works. So all Masters tell us like that, that all the methods to approach God, the most important and the quickest is to just have the love of the Master. I send you to see your brothers, whom you see you have no love for him. How can you love God whom you have not seen? Well, in whatever human form that God power is manifest, when you sit in this, what you say, the field of action, the personal or the area of the radiation, you feel something. You feel uplift. You feel like an intoxication. So this such a thing gives us, if you have even for 1 hour, Balan Room says, that gives you an effect which you could not derive even by putting in 100 years to out of devotion. You are sitting by soul. He is man body, of course, but God is in him manifest. If you just become one with him, what is the result? They are the children of light. Who think of the light, they become the light itself. So this is what is called the devotion to the master. So whenever man comes across such like people, what they do? They simply look to him and get intoxication even by looking at him. So my soul, they begin to forget him. So Kabir says, when I was, then Master was not there. When I was conscious of the body, I could not see the Master with it. Now, when he is manifest, I have forgotten myself. This is what exactly you find. The lane or the street or the love is such a one where two cannot remain. Two can remain only as one. This is what St. Paul said, it is I, not now I, but Christ lives in me. This is how you feel at the time. And all masters tell us like that. The Christ has put it very beautifully. He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That is, further gives them. Further goes on, he says, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If a man does not abide in me, he is cut off like a withered branch. God man is God in man. And if you become a master man or a guru man, God is within you. So that is the duty of the master, you see. Hafiz says, I have now nothing to fear of death or anything, because I am just embedded in my master, you see. I have become one with the master. He says, why am I not now afraid of death or anything? Because the God in him is everlasting. I have just dipped into it. I also have become everlasting. So these are the ways to express how you can become what is called Guru. He rises up, as you think, so you become. So it is the love alone, not with the worldly things, but love of the Master in whom God is manifest. That is equal to loving God. As he is in that intoxication, you begin to have that intoxication radiated to you. So that is why Christ, when he said, who believes in me, he will ever rock in my hand. All masters say like that. What was Christ's power? Christ's power was working at the human power of Jesus. He referred in the scriptures as the Son of Man. and then Sutherland, anybody that had to leave with us, leave us. But the Christ was not leave us. That the God was working at the human bone. That God manifested at any human bone. That is called the God power or the Christ power. Or the Guru power. That once he takes you under custody, he never leaves you. That is why Christ said, I shall never leave thee, nor forsake thee till the end of the world. Our Master used to say, when men are initiated, the God power and the Guru power resides with the man ever since he initiated. He does not leave him until he takes him to the true home of the Father. All Masters say that. What we have to do? If we have love for the Master, that the love of God in him, well, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let my words abide in you and you abide in me. The first part is clear enough, I think. We should act and live up to what he says. And the second part is little regard more going into how you can abide in him. When you remember sweetly somebody, that is a reaction in whom you are remembering. So when you remember the God in him, naturally, that reacted him, and he remembers you. Guru says, as he initiates, remembers the God in man, the Master. And what does the Master do? Master remembers all the same as initiates. That is the that power that extends all help and protection. A vice resides with the initiate and does not leave him until he makes him reach the true home of the Father. So these are the things which are, we have to take up and live. Unless you live up to it, that cannot be done. So Satyanarayana is a wonderful personality, I would say, in the world. Maulana says, I've seen such a man, body of such a man, you see. I saw the very God, the house of God was just going round and round of that man's body. Well, what is it, such a man's body, even whom the house of God goes round to pay respect to him? And this is what is meant, you see. The one, is, to all intents and purposes, is a man like you. But he is dwelt in a way in which God has manifested in him, and God manifested in him just enables others to raise up the bondage of mind and outward faculties and makes you in contact with God. So to have the love of the Master, of God, just there are two ways. One is just when he gives you an uplift to come in contact with God, power, which is called normal world, the outer expression of which is light and sound principle. And the more you come in contact with that, that is love personified, God is love, and the God in you being, you being of the same essence of God, you are also love, but that love is embedded under mind and outward faculties, that clears up that love which is within you and charges it again. So just when you sit in the radiation of such a Master, even the, by radiation you get uplift. As you think, so you become. So naturally, you get something without any effort, just being receptive. It is said that painter, you see. They came to a country and met the king of that place and told him, "We know very wonderful painting, will you have a trial of us?" And the king asked them, "Well, you see, let him take a hall, or else you go on and do your painting. When it is ready, you call to me." So other painters of his own country also came up to the king and asked him, "Well, we would also like to show our, you see, competency." "All right, in the big hall like that, there is one curtain put between the two walls. One side was allotted to those who came from outside, from all foreign countries, and the other was allotted to the painters of his own country." Both began to work. After some time, when the painting was ready, the foreign painters who came up to the king, "Well, our painting is now ready, you may have a look at that." And the king went there and saw how wonderful it was, of course. Then the other said, "Would you kindly ask to have a look at us?" He considered at heart of thought, "They have done wonderful painting. One can more be better than that." That curtain was withdrawn, and to the astonishment of the king, he saw exactly the same painting which was on that wall, the very one there. The king was astonished. When two women are working and having competition, they would not let anybody know their secret, how it is. And the same painting and with more clearness was also on the other wall. He asked the people of the country, "Well, what have you done?" He said, "King, we have done nothing. Simply we are rubbing the wall so and so that has begun to reflect." So love, true love, rubs all the impressions from our mind. And true love of the masters, clear cut, God reflects clear cut. In the glass, you cannot see at your face. If you just put something on the behind of it, you begin to see your face. So you put that covering of love in your heart, all the things that whom you love, that begins to reflect there, you see him directly. So this is the easiest way through love. That is why it says, "Who do not know love cannot know God." But it is not love of the me, it is that love which is called charity, not lust. That love of God manifests anywhere, if that is for that manifested God in the human soul, that is just becoming one with God. This is something which costs you nothing. You have already ingrained in you this love, but simply it is misdirected. So remain where you are. There's no need of any change of religions. These teachings already exist in all scriptures. All masters who came in the past did this so. By parallel study of religion, you find the same thing. Now it needed somebody who knows the way, in whom that God power is manifest, who can give you a lift to rise above senses, open your inner eyes to have a contact with God, open the inner eye to see the light of God, and open the inner ears to hear the voice of God. Love beautifies everything. Love knows no burdens. When there's love between two, they become one. So this is the way back to God. Then Guru of the Sikhs tells us, "Hear ye all, I tell you, whether you belong to one religion or the other, that makes no difference. I tell you the truth. God can be approached only through love." Thank you for your patient care.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last 30 minutes of a talk given by Master on November 25th, 1963, in Merrill Hall in Carmel, California. Our reader this morning is Leslie McIntosh. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you. We'll begin with Master's invocation. Supreme Lord of the universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul, we invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord, and strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. This morning's satsang will be a reading from Master Kirpal Singh's morning talks, Chapter 29, The Single Eye or Third Eye. Christ said that it is better to enter the world with one eye rather than two, which will cast you into hell. Everyone has got two eyes, which are open in the face. They have been working ever since birth. All through life, we have been working at the level of the two eyes. About 80% of all impressions that are received from outside come through the eyes. Those who work only at the level of the two eyes receive either good impressions or bad impressions. Good impressions will react as good actions. Bad impressions will result in bad actions. The very impressions that are embedded in our heart will overflow. It is a very superficial life that we are living. The Masters tell us that there is also another eye, called variously the third eye, the single eye, or the Shiv Netra. Unless you open that third eye, which can be opened only while in the man body, you are nowhere. It is the eye of the soul, not of the intellect, nor the outgoing faculties. We are ensouled bodies, conscious entities, working through mind and outgoing faculties. That inner eye is opened when our soul, the outward expression of which is called attention, is withdrawn to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the two eyes. The attention is now working at the level of the eyes through the mind and outgoing faculties. We are identified with the body and we have forgotten ourselves. Unless that very attention is withdrawn from outside and just extricated above the outgoing faculties, which end at the level of the eyes, we cannot know who we truly are. At the time of death, you come up to this point. Therefore, it is said that those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body and the outgoing faculties as it has at the time of death. That eye opens when the attention is withdrawn from the outside, and then dragged up from the level of the outgoing faculties to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the two eyes. That is the place where man leaves the body at the time of death. Kabir said, just direct your attention to the seat above the outgoing faculties. When your attention reaches that point, your inner eye opens. The inner eye is within all. So that is why it is said that it is better to enter the world with one eye rather than two, which will cast you into hell. This has now been explained to you very clearly. If you can do it yourself, well and good. If not, then seek the help of somebody who is competent to do it for you. Outward sadhana of japa and mantras and outward performances at the level of the outgoing faculties, anybody can preach with little effort. It is a fact, I would say, of withdrawing the attention from outside and dragging it above the eye level of the outgoing faculties, whereby the inner eye is opened. This eye is opened to see the God into expression power, which is light and sound principle. To give you one illustration, when a hen sits over an egg, she produces heat within herself. This heat is conveyed to the egg and within the egg. The chicken is born. But the chicken is all hemmed in by the outer coverings of the shell. So the hen says, "Look here, child, there is a very big sun outside, and there are fields and vales. The child says, "Mother, it might be so, but I am in all darkness." What does the hen do? She just gently taps on the shell with her beak until the egg bursts and the chicken is freed. "If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." You know what that means? It is a demonstration, a proof, that when the third eye opens, you see the light of God within you. To give another illustration, suppose there are 100 stairs in a house, and a man climbs 30, 40, 50, 60 stairs, but he still does not see any light. As he gets near to the roof, he sees flashes of light. When he gets to the top of the roof, he sees light. This is only a first step to show when the third eye is opened. This we can do only in the man body, which we have got with the grace of God. When rain comes in torrents, it floods the whole world. Similarly, when the true master comes, he brings with him the water of life. I use the word true, as there are so many masters flooding the world. They simply give you something at the level of the outgoing faculties. Their third eye is not opened, and they cannot open the third eye of others. The greatness of a master lies in the fact that he has opened his inner eye and can also make others see. Our master used to say, "Well, what is the use of giving the five names, five mantras, or any outward thing?" That even a little girl spinning a wheel can tell you. The outward methods of performing a ritual, anybody can do with a little training. But rising above body consciousness and opening the single eye, only a competent man can do. He will give you a sitting, and after that you will see some light. The more accurately you follow his instructions, the more light you will see. Even a blind man has got the third eye. On my first tour to the West in 1955, I went to Los Angeles. During the meditation hour in the morning, a blind doctor was there, and he was given a sitting, and he saw light. Masters give the eye to the blind man. In the eyes of the master, we are all blind. They see that our third eye is not open. Kabir says, I see all are blind. Who is not blind? He who sees the light of God within him, whose third eye is open. You follow me now? Exactly what I mean to say? When masters come, they flood the world. Their rays pour down in torrents, and the whole world is flooded with the water of life. Kabir says, there is a flood of the water of life given out by the masters. People may take away as much as they like. When you leave the body at the time of death, you will simply repent. You should die while alive, and this can only be done in the man body and at the feet of a competent master whose inner eye is opened and who can open the eye of others. Even the blind man has got the third eye. Those who do not see the light outside see light within when their inner eye has been opened. This eye is opened only when you rise above body consciousness. This is to be born anew. Except ye be born anew, ye cannot enter the kingdom of God. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. At the time of death, your soul will be withdrawn from outside and from the outgoing faculties. It will come up to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes. If this process is done while living, your inner eye is opened to see the light beyond. All glory lies within you. So when the masters come, there is a flood of spirituality in the world. This is high time to take away as much as you can. This is the true wealth that you can gather while you are in the man body. All other wealth is left here along with the body. When the masters come, they cry, O people, now is the time. Make the best use of it. There is a flood of the water of life. Take as much as you can. It is all given free. Only a little devotion, a little receptivity is to be developed. Whether you live near or far makes no difference whatsoever. Why are we fortunate to have the man body? It is because in the man body only can we open that eye. When your eye is opened, you enjoy the beyond while still living. You should graduate while you are here. Then you remain the same graduate after leaving the body. If you are unlearned now, how can you become a graduate after leaving the body? Our master always used to say, who becomes a learned man while in life remains learned even after leaving the body. Those who are illiterate here, how can they become educated afterwards? You follow now why so much praise is given to the masters? Not to the so-called masters. The world is flooded with them. If their own eyes are not open, they cannot open the eyes of others. To go on in your present condition won't do. You will remain all along at the level of the eyes or at the level of the outgoing faculties. So if you can rise above yourself, well and good. What more is required? If not, you can have the help of somebody whose eye is open and who gives you something to start with, some capital to see the light of God. So you can now appreciate the beauty of the advice. It is better to enter the world with one eye rather than two, which will cast you into hell. When masters come, they speak in their own language, but they say the same things. The whole world is at the level of feelings and emotions, or of drawing inferences at the level of the intellect. They have not seen. So feelings, emotions, and drawing inferences are all subject to error. Seeing is above all. Those who have seen say the same thing. That is why it is said, listen to the words of the Master. He says what he sees, and he is competent to make others see. Books cannot explain these very few words, which are very simple, quite to the point, and at a common sense level. Our inner eye is closed, but it is there and can be opened while in the man body. Why can't we open it ourselves? Because our soul, combined with the mind, has become a jiva, and by outward expressions through the outgoing faculties, it has become identified with the body and the world outside, so much so that it has forgotten its true nature. If it continues for years and years, all methods of outward worship, and uses them for meditation at the level of the outgoing faculties or at the level of the eyes, it cannot go up. If it can go up by its own efforts, well and good. Otherwise, it should take the help of somebody whose inner eye is open and who is competent to open the inner eye of others. That's the end of chapter 29 in Morning Talks, and we'll start chapter 30, How to Develop Receptivity, part 2. If you wish to learn something of education, you will find it only in the schools or colleges. If you would like to have some medicine, you go to a hospital. Similarly, when you want clothing, you go to a cloth seller. If you would like to find God, then you must go to a true saint or master. What is a master? He is a word made flesh who dwells amongst us. God is everywhere, but he is made manifest in the master. Satsang is called the company of Sat. Sat is unchangeable permanence. It is over-existent. Our soul, when divested of mind, matter, and outgoing faculties by the process of self-analysis, becomes the knower of the controlling power, which is already within us, controlling us in the body. That controlling power, or God, is within each of us. But our souls are identified with the mind and outgoing faculties so much so that we have forgotten ourselves and forgotten the over-self, or God. So where such a soul is there, who has known himself by self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness, he sees God as I see you and you see me. Such a person is called a master or a saint. Wherever he sits, radiation will be there. Radiation comes from every pore of his body, but the special place of manifestation is through his eyes. Eyes are the windows of the soul. His soul is intoxicated with the love of God, and if you look into his eyes, radiation will be there. To derive full benefit from the company of a saint, you must be pure yourself. When you come to a place where a master is sitting, you should forget everything. Forget the environment around you and who is sitting by you. Just be fully attentive to the eyes of the master, which is where his soul has its play. You must become receptive to derive the full benefit of the company of a saint. Those who come near the Master and their mind is, what you say, tossing about from one place to another, and ripples are constantly arising in the pond of their mind. I beg your pardon. And ripples are constantly arising in the pond of their mind, cannot develop receptivity. They cannot receive the full benefit of the radiation which comes from the Master through his whole body and especially through the eyes. This benefit you can derive even when sitting thousands of miles away. Through a radio, you hear what a man is saying from a long distance. Through television, you also see who is speaking. The word is everywhere. Word or nam or shabda are all one and the same. So the vibration of the man in whom the word is manifest permeates through the whole world. Those who become receptive by stilling their mind and intellect derive full benefit. Kabir says, if the master resides thousands of miles across the seas and the disciple resides this side, he should just direct his attention to the master. The word is everywhere. You have just to become receptive. When you become receptive, you will derive the full benefit of satsang. So if you want to find God, then go to a place where a master is sitting. Let nothing stand between you and the master, not even his body. If you absorb your whole attention into the eyes of the master, you will get full radiation and have bliss-giving intoxication. This is the quickest and easiest way to derive full benefit from the company of a saint. When you become receptive, you will get higher intoxication. The world will be forgotten. You will derive more pleasure, more bliss from the beyond when you become receptive as compared to outside things. We are conscious beings and should become receptive or in contact with the word or nam, the outer expression of which is light and sound. The more you come in contact with the word or nam, the more bliss and intoxication you will have as compared with anything outside. The mind will be stilled. The Upanishads say, what is that by having which you do not need anything more? It is to come in contact with a light and sound principle of the Word made flesh. So the company of one who is the Word made flesh is called satsang. Therein you can find the radiation of God, and you can have it even from thousands of miles if you become receptive. That is why Maulana Rumi says, if you have only 20 minutes to sit by a saint, the result of the benefit that you derive from that short period cannot be had by thousands of years of true penances. When the fire is burning, sit by it. When the fire is ablaze, everything is burned. It is far more effective and easier to have our sins burned away by the company of a master than by the practice of penances. When the word becomes manifest somewhere and you become receptive to it, your mind will be stilled. You can reflect your own self in it, and you can also reflect God within you. The only thing that stands in the way between God and you is the mind. You are not put in anything from outside. It is already there. When the turbulent waves of the mind are stilled, you can see your true face in it. Do you follow now how to derive full benefit from the company of the Master. God is found not in books, as only statements about him that are given in them. Neither can he be found in temples made of stone by the hand of man. In these we gather together only to pray to God or to thank him for all that he has given. He resides within you. The body is the true temple of God. When you have understood this, then where do you go to find him? First within your own self. Withdraw from outside. Withdraw from the mind and the outgoing faculties and come up to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes. When you concentrate there, your inner eye will be opened to see God within you. But you can have his radiation where he is already manifest. Sitting close to the human body where God is manifest, even for a short time, will give you quicker results. That is why satsang, or the company of a true saint, is talked of very highly in all scriptures. The process is quickened by radiation. The same God power is within you, but is not awakened. It will be awakened at the time of initiation, and further, it will be given a boost by the radiation from the Master. That is why it is said that one lyrical glance from a saint that is radiated to your soul from outside can bring you up into your own self, and you will see the light of God within you. So one grace-pouring glance from a Master is sufficient for us. That will give a boost. That is what is meant by have the company of a saint. The more you get, the better. The more receptive you get by sitting near him, the more benefit you will derive. Simply to come and go won't do. It is receptivity that gives you substantial benefit. The more time that you can spend in the company of a saint, the better. Even if you are not in the direct company of a saint, you can benefit by sitting in your rooms, even at far-off places, by developing receptivity. That receptivity comes only when everything between you and the Master is removed, though maybe at thousands of miles away. Nothing should stand between you and the Master, neither worldly things nor your body or mind. Simply sit sweetly, and you will develop receptivity. We cannot underrate the value of the direct company of the Master, of course. The more you become receptive to him, the more benefit you can draw, and you can develop it at a far-off place. When you have developed receptivity, only then will you be able to derive more benefit from distant places. When you are with him face-to-face, you get it direct, and naturally that will give you power. If you develop receptivity, then from thousands of miles, you can have the same benefit. When people apply for initiation, I simply sanction it and instruct the representative, "All right, give him a sitting." The man to whom the sitting is given gets the same experience as if in direct contact. This is worked through the shabda or word, which is everywhere. So I think that you will appreciate that you can derive more benefit by becoming receptive. The more time you have in direct contact, so much the better. If not, because it is not possible to have it 24 hours a day, then develop receptivity by sitting in your rooms. If that is developed, then you can go anywhere and still have it. So the word is pervading everywhere. It vibrates throughout the universe, and is specially concentrated in the Word made flesh. One vibration from Him also vibrates throughout the universe. It is only a question of becoming receptive to it, that's all. In that way, it makes no difference whether a man is sitting here or afar. It is a matter only of becoming attentive, receptive to the word or shabda, which pervades everywhere. Where it is manifest, that vibrates, and that vibration goes on throughout the world. You know how the master truly is now? Such like masters are spoken of in all the scriptures. That ends chapters 29 and 30 in Morning Talks. And in conclusion, Master says, each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility. Thank you, Master. Amen.
And thank you, Leslie, for reading for us. We had 75 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.